Valar Doharis.
And welcome back to the Faceless Men podcast covering HBO's Game of Thrones television series. I'm your host, Michael.
I'm your host, Jesse.
And we're covering Season 6, Episode 9, Battle of the Bastards. And this is the ultimate episode, usually the best one in the season. And I would say that this episode is probably one of the best ones out of all the seasons of the Game of Thrones. What do you think, Jesse?
Absolutely.
It was pretty good. So I think this is the first time we've seen a big battle, not just like hints of battles and stuff like that. So they've actually had the resources to spend on, I guess, you know, hiring the people, the extras to clash, you know, I guess pile up the dead bodies, and you got the horses and a whole bunch of stuff going on here. It was great. There's actually two battles going on this episode, one in Meereen and one in Winterfell. And those are the only two locations that I think we saw. Just Meereen and Winterfell. That was it. It was great. Which is probably another reason why it's great, because we concentrated on a couple characters, two plot points, and that was it. So you have a combination of not spreading itself around, a budget for big battle, tying up of many, many loose ends.
Sweet dragon action.
Sweet dragon action. You got some sweet, man, mounted combat action. That was some fucking awesome shit there. I think most importantly, or at least most importantly to me talking on this cast, is that if you followed along with us through the season, Jesse and I have pretty much called every freaking moment in this episode in both Meereen and Winterfell. So
not the exact details, but the overarching plot,
man, almost the exact details. I mean, I guess, you know, we couldn't call that, oh, there'd be a shield wall, you know, shit like that. But yeah, you know, the things that will stick with you after this episode is gone, you know, we called all the advancements in the plot. And the first thing I recognize, or the first thing that hit me when I was watching this episode, they did the previously on, and out of that, I saw the Shireen, right, marching to her death with the toy that Davos gave her.
Yeah, they really pushed that.
Yeah. I'm like, shit, I wonder how this is going to turn out. Well, it doesn't really, the fallout of that doesn't really happen this episode, but it looks like it's going to happen next episode, judging by the next time on Game of Thrones segment. Yeah. So we start off this episode in Meereen. We get a pretty cool first-person view of the catapult launch. You know, they set the whatever the fuck is on that. Is a, you know, whatever it is will catch fire. Set fire to it, pull it down, launch it into the wall. We see Dany surveying the damage. And it sounds like Tyrion's kind of trying to plead his case. Like maybe he's afraid he's going to piss off the Mother of Dragons, right?
Not only that, he looks pretty nervous.
Yeah, he's very nervous. You can hear the, you know, shit is shaking around him. Things are hitting the big pyramid there, the main pyramid in Meereen. And he's trying to persuade Dany that, hey, things are actually good. The whole reason this has happened is because the city's in a rebirth, right? That's why the Masters came back. We're doing so good. They can't allow that to happen. So now, you know, they seize this moment to attack and, you know, kind of halt your progress. The people are behind you. We've done all these things. And Dany actually is like, okay. Then we move on, right? She's kind of satisfied. But Tyrion's like, so you have a plan? She's like, yes. I'm going to destroy all these motherfuckers, and I'm going to go to their cities and lay them to waste. But Tyrion kind of clues Dany into, you know, the plans her father had as well with the wildfire and about how he was willing to sacrifice his citizens.
Yep.
And she's like, well, this is different. And he's like, no, you're talking about destroying cities where there's innocent people in these cities.
Pretty
and it's not entirely different. And then you hear the crash. And the next thing we see, there's a parley with they parley with the Masters while the battle still rages on behind them. And of course, they're like, you know, here's the terms of your surrender. And Tyrion's like, no, I don't think you understand. We're here to accept your surrender. And of course, you know, they get mouthy with Dany. She's like, no, my reign's just begun. And then of course, cue Drogon. He comes in there. Fucking scares everybody, and then they proceed to destroy and the other dragons, right? The other dragons break out from underneath the pyramid. The same dragons that the Masters said that, you know, we're gonna kill, you're gonna die, they're gonna die, everything's gonna fucking die, and it's all gonna return back to the Masters. And she's like, no, that's not gonna happen. Here, watch me destroy your shit. Guess what? I don't know what the fuck these guys were thinking, but they have no defenses for dragons.
Nope.
They don't have any AA guns or nothing. No, they have nothing to control the airspace above them. Which pretty
maybe
much
some bows.
Yeah,
they got some bows.
I think they realize it too, that they're going to lose this. We see the Sons are wreaking havoc at the gates. That is until the Blood Riders arrive. And then right after that's when we see Danny say, you know, Dracarys. You know, Dracarys, motherfuckers. And all the ship basically gets sunk. And then Tyrion's...
I thought they were going to totally waste the entire fleet here.
Yeah, I guess not.
That
wasn't the plan. The plan was to salvage as many of those ships as possible, right?
Yep.
Because we see that Tyrion is now in control of the terms of surrender. And he basically lays it down and is like, look, we had an agreement. You broke the agreement. We can come to terms here, but we can't overlook this insolence that you've done here by defying the queen, right? That means one of you is going to have to die. So you guys can, you know, pick who's going to die. And of course, the two highborns turn over the lowborn. He's not really one of us. He doesn't speak for us. That's when Grey Worm comes up with one slash and takes out the throat of both the other nobles. And then Tyrion,
a great move.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
Not just, you know, on Grey Worm, because that really highlights how much of a badass Grey Worm is. Because that's, you know, he's pretty quick about it.
Right.
Like, completely get your enemies to basically turn on each other.
Yes.
And then it disposes the guy, or predisposes the guy to anything you're going to say.
Right. Yeah. It was a nice bit of diplomacy wrapped up in a cuddly blanket of intimidation.
Yeah. Yep.
So, and he tells, he's like, you're going to live and you're going to go back and tell everybody what's happened here in case one of them gets the bright idea to be defiant again. Oh, and thank you for the ships.
Yeah.
Thank you for the armada. Our queen does love ships. That, I believe, was the quote. Yeah. So that was pretty good. And that gets us warmed up. This is a nice warm up before we hit Winterfell. And we see Jon and Sansa and company are talking to Ramsay and company, right? Kind of like a brief parlay between the leaders of the battle before the battle begins. And of course, Ramsay's like, there's no need to battle. Get off your horse and kneel. You know, thanks for returning Sansa to me.
Yep.
And then Jon's like, you're right. There's no need for a battle. Thousands of men don't need to die. Only one of us. Let's end this the old way. You against me. Of course, Ramsay's like, well, I don't know if I can really take you, because even if the rumors aren't true that you're the baddest sword in the North, you know, maybe I could, maybe I couldn't. But I do know that my 6,000 men versus you're not even half that's going to win. So he doesn't take Jon's old way.
Nope.
And then
neatly wrapped him up in that, though.
So after that, Sansa's like, how do we know that you even have Rickon? And of course, he throws Summoner's head out as proof. And before he can keep talking, Sansa interrupts him and says, you're going to die tomorrow, Lord Bolton. And then takes off, like, totally steals his thunder. Which was great. I thought this was a great prelude of things to come. And then I keep hearing Ramsay use that word bastard. Bastard, you bastard. Good luck, bastard. Like, the fucking term doesn't apply to him. Yeah, like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Now you've got a piece of paper or some bullshit that legitimizes you as a Bolton. Like, you weren't a bastard for fucking everything up until this last year?
Well, now he's got the power. He can lord it over the others. That's how bullies it. Yeah, that's a bully thing.
Well, yeah, exactly. This guy's a piece of shit. And during the it was kind of nice, because during this encounter, John's like, yeah, but of those 6,000 men, how many of them are willing to die for you when you weren't willing to die for them? And Ramsay sees he kind of got caught in a ploy by John, right? Because he knew he'd look like a piece of shit in front of his men if he didn't take the opportunity, right?
Yep.
Not that Ramsay gives a shit, but he does realize he got caught in a trap. But of course, Ramsay's the layer of traps, which we find, you know, which we hear again and again from Sansa in the next scene, where it's kind of like, it's Jon and company are back and they're doing a war room type thing where they're laying out the battle plans. And Jon really doesn't have very many pieces on the board, which is very sad. But we get into a nice little comedic relief with Tormund. I call this scene Tactics with Tormund. And he's like, you know, we've been digging trenches, because Tormund's like, I'm afraid of these horses, right? Because,
yep.
You know,
worried about his cavalry.
Stannis just ripped right through us with the cavalry. And he's like, well, you've been digging trenches, so they won't be able to use a double envelopment against us. And Tormund looks at him like, what's that? And he's like, a pincer maneuver. And Tormund's like, yeah, what is that? And he's like, they won't be able to hit us from both sides. Oh, yeah, good. And then they leave, and then Sansa gives him the 411 on Ramsay. He looks like, hey, you don't know this guy. Rickon, you're not going to be able to save Rickon. He won't allow it. He's the last natural born that they know of, son of, you know, Stark. Rickon is not going to survive. And you don't know Ramsay. He is the layer of traps. And then Jon says, you know, I promise I'm going to protect you. And Sansa's like, no one can protect me. No one can protect anyone. And she, you know, basically marches out of there. And we see Tormund and Davos. This seems pretty good. We find that Tormund's very literal. Because Davos is talking about the demons in Stannis' head. And he's like, you saw these demons? And Davos is like, no, it's a manner of speaking. There weren't any real demons. And they, you know, they kind of compare their, you know, they, Tormund was following Mance, Davos was following Stannis, both of those guys are dead, and then, you know, they kind of come to agreement. Maybe that's our mistake, believing in kings. And of course, Jon Snow is no king, right?
Yep.
So, I really love that moment between those guys. Davos kind of is like, oh, I'm not going to go drink with you because I can never sleep before a battle. I'm just going to go walk until I'm out of earshot and basically shit myself in fear about the battle. And so while Davos is walking and thinking, he comes across Shireen's funeral pyre, right? Well, is it funeral pyre? Sacrificial pyre is probably the better term here. And he's digging through it and he finds that toy, the stag, right, that he carved for Shireen.
Yeah,
in the snow.
Man, that's just crushing.
Yeah, hell, man, that rekindles some hatred in my own heart, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And then we close that scene with Warhorns. We go back.
They played off like he's been working with Melisandre, but he doesn't know where she, like, no one's given him the clear answer where Shireen is. So it really highlights the fact that he didn't know.
That surprises me that he doesn't know. I guess maybe it was there in the back of his head, but seeing it kind of confirms it and brings it all back. You know what I mean? Because he's been working with Melisandre, but it wasn't like they were buddy buddy. He did it because he thought that John needed to be resurrected. He was the only guy that he could that is really worthy to lead, right, at this point in time. So I don't think it's a matter of he's been working with her in a friendship manner. It's just he's done what needed to be done. And then we go back to Meereen and we see, wow, the Greyjoys are here. That was kind of sudden.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we didn't see him come in because I kind of predicted maybe that they'd help fight off the master ships.
A little bit more of an entrance, I was expecting.
Yeah, me too. You know, the sails of the Iron Isles come flowing into the bay and shit, and you see cannon fire, and, you know, I thought, you know, that was a great opportunity for something. But no, we cut straight to an audience with Daenerys and Tyrion versus the Greyjoys. And, of course, Tyrion muses at Theon's plights because the last time that they were on screen together, Theon was making fun of his stature, right? That he was a dwarf.
Yep. Really kind of lays into him.
Yeah, but I think it goes fairly well because Danny's kind of asking, you know, what do you want? What do you want? You want me to restore you to rulership of the Iron Islands? But of course, Danny's not. She wants control of the Seven Kingdoms. She's going to be queen of the Seven Kingdoms, right? So
that's the entirety of the Seven.
So you're not going to have. Basically, she lays it down. You're not going to have pure independence. You're going to respect the integrity of the Iron Isles, and basically, you'll be installed as the warden. Is what I'm getting from this whole meeting.
Which, yeah. The best part was when she laid it out.
Yeah, but before that, they kind of, you know, they find some common ground, right? Because both of their dads were shitty rulers, and they're both dead, killed by somebody else. And so they're like, you know, you and I have that in common. And then Yara kind of warns Daenerys of Euron and what he plans to do. You know, what does he want to give me? Well, he's big cock, I think he said. And, you know, of course his plan is to marry you, gain control of shit, and then offer, right? That would be the plan. Of course, Daenerys isn't going to fall for that. She would never fall for that shit anyways. But she does come to agreement with Yara after, you know, like... And she actually says, so, you know, you want me to hand over the leadership to you? And she says it to Theon. And, of course, Theon's like, no, I'm not fit to rule. And then Tyrion pipes in, I definitely agree with that. But, so, Dany lays it out. No more reaving, no more roving, no more raiding, and no more raping. And Yara's kind of like, whoa, yeah, that's what the fuck we do. You know, that's what we do. If you take that all away, what are we going to be? But she actually, like, she hesitates, but then agrees to it, right?
Yep.
And Danny's like, we're going to leave the Seven Kingdoms better than we found them. And I definitely want to come back. I want to come back to this scene because I'm like, there ain't no fucking way the Island Islanders are going to do that shit. So we leave the Greyjoys in Meereen and we go back to Winterfell. And we see the armies are arrayed against each other. It's pretty sad, actually, how few people Jon Snow has on his side. We see flayed men are set on fire and arrayed around the field all grotesquely. And
I thought for sure one of them would be Rickon.
I thought so, too. And the whole time I'm like, Rickon Stark is going to be what? A flayed man on a pyre or something? Nope, he's being pulled behind Ramsay as he comes out in front of these men. And of course, he parades him around, does this whole theatrical shit where he draws a knife, holds it above his head, and then instead of slitting Rickon's throat, he cuts his bindings, right? So that he's free.
Yep.
And then he asks him, do you like to play games, little man? Do you like games, little man? Let's play a game. Run to your brother. And Rickon's like, what? And he's like, no, go ahead, run. And he starts walking off, and he's like, no, the rules are you run. And then, of course, I'm like, oh, they're going to fucking shoot this kid. Which, of course, I was right. And Jon should have totally listened to Sansa. She knew it. She had Ramsay's number, what he was going to do. Like, Rickon's lost. He may be over there breathing, but you're not going to save him, is basically what Sansa was telling him.
Maybe if he learned a serpentine.
I know! Zigzag, man! What the fuck are you doing running a straight line? The whole time I'm like, zigzag!
Because it zigzag, felt like those first couple shots were just like pure...
Oh, he's toying. Ramsay toys with people that way.
Yep.
Because it wasn't until the last moment when he pierced his heart with the fucking arrow. Of course, you know, Jon does a imitation of Leroy Jenkins and fucking dashes down towards Rickon trying to save him from Ramsay. And because Rickon fails to zigzag, he dies. And of course,
really, yeah, no purpose for him to. Yeah, we'll come back to all that. Yeah.
And then Jon kind of realizes what he's done. Right, he's put himself out in the middle. He's got no support. All his men are back there. And of course,
he could have returned.
I don't know. He decides to fight in the shade. So the Boltons loose arrow, you know, wave after wave of arrows, which does not even affect Jon. Then they release the horses, right, the cavalry, and then the wildlings and what forces of the North Jon had managed to gather rush in, with the exception of the archers. Davos is left back with the archers. And I was thinking, well, at least his men won't get it since they're busy concentrating on him. They had time to actually run up there and engage with the enemy. But of course, Bolton doesn't give a shit about his own men, and he has his archers loose arrows right into the thick of the battle, killing his own people, John's people, everybody.
They kind of foreshadowed it, though, didn't they? Because they had Davos like, okay, yeah, don't fire.
We're just going to hit our own people, which is exactly what Ramsay does.
Like, go ahead and fire. I don't give a shit.
But when we get right down into it, like, the cameras are right in the mix of the battle, and we can see it's fucking chaos, right? Like, I don't know what people imagine on medieval battles, but I can't, unless you're super, super well trained and organized, you're not going to stick in a formation the whole time. It's going to come down to every man for himself, and you're just in a morass of fucking assholes and elbows. You know what I mean? It's awful.
We call that melee.
Yeah, it is melee. And horses are fucking devastating. Did you see how the horse? I loved it how when the horses came charging in and like there's some foot soldier running by and he just like, bam, gets smashed like a fucking bus, like a freight train hit the son of a bitch and he just goes launched across the screen. So I love this battle scene about how gritty and I guess dynamic's a word you could use, powerful, deadly. It was a great battle scene. And the arrows keep coming from Ramsay, and it's like you get these mountains of the dead just start piling up.
Which seemed to be his plan.
Yeah, and you have the giants in there wreaking havoc, though. They need more giants. I wish not so many of them had succumbed to the White Walkers.
Yeah. No, it makes you realize how bad that's going to be.
So a white giant is bad news. And we see that all the men are crushed in between, like, this mountain of the dead. And then what happens is the Boltons send in, like, the tightly organized unit, right? The shield wall. It's interconnected, yep. Or at least they're touching. And they have people behind them with spears. And, in between, you know, the people with the shields have the swords so that when somebody breaks through, they can cut them down. And they're just smashing them up against that mountain of the piles of dead people. And just wearing them down little bit by bit, killing them all. Not in a hurry, because there's no reason to get in a hurry, right? And then it looks like, was it Karstark or Umber? He led some men to climb the mountain of the dead to keep anybody from fleeing over.
Umber, yep.
Yeah, and it almost looked like maybe there's going to be a breach in that wall from the giant, but they just keep...
Oh, I totally thought, yeah.
Yeah, but they just keep pushing them back. And then John's, like, getting trampled because everybody's moving away from the shield wall, right? And when he finally gets to stand up, he can't even breathe because they're all fucking smashed, like one big giant, ball of humanity smashed up against the death wall and the other death wall with shields. And then
Tormund are just beating the crap out of each other.
Tormund and Karstark go at it. I thought Tormund was going to die.
Yeah, he looked like he was losing there. And everybody else is just kind of stuck and standing still. And there's Umber just like hitting Tormund.
Right. And then the veil comes, right? You can see the pennants come in and the horses come charging because they're all mounted, every single fucking last one of them. And they just come in. Ever play that game, the snake game, where you just eat up shit? And that's what it looked like. They just came in right on the backside of that shield wall, and none of them had any protection from them, just wasted them. And I think that gave Tormund the window of opportunity he needed to destroy Karstark.
Pulled like a tooth or a horn or something and stabbed him to death.
Yeah, it was brutal. Totally took out that motherfucker. Or I guess it's Umber. You keep saying it. You're probably right. It's probably Umber.
Well, Karstark was like the unshaven one. He was...
Okay, yeah. So Tormund kills Umber. And then Tormund, the giant, and Jon break free.
You also see Sansa standing or sitting there smirking with Baelish.
She came in with Baelish. Now, I want to talk about that, the timing. I want to talk about timing here when we come back. Jon, he's covered with gore. And Ramsay knows he's lost, and so he retreats to the castle, Winterfell. But Jon's speeding after him, of course. Ramsay gets inside. They're like, bolt the doors, you know. They don't have enough men to take they can't do anything about coming in a castle, right, to siege it. I guess he forgot about the giant, because the giant proceeded to punch holes in the fucking doors and then broke it down, and that was the giant's last action. He looks like a fucking pincushion with all the arrows that's in him.
Yeah.
And then he's kneeling. It looks like maybe he could recover, but then Ramsay puts an arrow through his eye, and that kind of ends. That's the last giant. The last of his kind, right?
Yep.
He's dead. That's it. Done. We're done with giants. There's no more unless they're undead. That pisses off Jon. They come in. What's left of them come in. They shoot down all of Ramsay's men or throw them off the catwalks. And then Jon picks up his shield. And Ramsay's kind of like, oh, hey, how about that one-on-one? Yeah, I think I changed my mind. I'll take that up with you. And I'm like, what? Of course, all the wildlings are there. They have arrows knocked. I'm like, why don't you just put the fucker down? But instead, Jon gets pissed off, picks up that shield, like a little buckler, and catches, like arrow after arrow, something like three or four of them in that buckler, and then smashes Ramsay in the face with it. And then he proceeds to get on top of him and just beat the living shit out of the guy.
So much for being the best swordsman.
there was no swords. It was just pure brutality.
Yeah.
And he keeps beating on Ramsay until he sees Sansa arrive, and then he gets up off of him.
Leaves him like a broken toy.
Yep.
Like a toddler with a broken toy.
And then there's kind of like a moment of wrap-up where it's like, okay, the battle's done, and then Sansa comes up to Jon and is like, where is he? And then we see he's tied to a chair, and I'm thinking, why the fuck would you even keep this asshole around? Why is he not dead? Because I'm thinking...
Like the moment they show him behind the gate, though, they kind of like zoomed past the gate.
Yeah.
Like, so that when they first show him, he'd show him in a room with lots of cage, like the bars around him. It's like, oh, I know exactly where that is.
Well,
that's where that dogs ate the Bolton lady.
Yeah, the kennels. It's the kennels. Yep. But I was thinking, just leaving him alive, I don't care where he's at, is going to give him an opportunity to get free and wreak more havoc. But this scene between Sansa and Ramsay Bolton is probably my all-time favorite scene in any Game of Thrones episode. With the exception of maybe Joffrey dying. Man, it's up there with it. It could be a tie. Joffrey death scene, Sansa versus, or, you know, a Ramsay Bolt death scene. Because it is vicious. And he's in the kennels, and his father fucking called it. When you act like a dog, you're going to be treated like a dog. And so there's a brief moment where, like, maybe Ramsay doesn't actually know what the fuck happened as he's coming to. Like, he thinks he can still squirm his way out of it.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And he sees where he's at, and he's like, oh, he's like, they're loyal to me. And Sansa's like, well, you said it yourself. You haven't fed him in 7 days. That hunger's going to overcome loyalty. And then you see that dog gets right up in his face and starts licking the blood and shit from it. And he's like, get down. And then the next thing we hear are the savage sounds of chewed flesh and screams. And Sansa just turns around and they kind of pan out. And she's walking away with a big smirk on her face. Fucking brutal, man. Fucking brutal.
Yeah.
I loved it. Super brutal. That scene was awesome.
As the ultimate betrayal.
It is the ultimate betrayal. Betrayed by his own hounds.
And he just did not see it coming. It's so like him. Oh, they're loyal because I've made them basically fear me. But yeah, but you didn't feed him in 7 days.
Right. Yeah, the dogs weren't ever loyal. I think maybe fear ruled his dogs, the hounds. But I don't think it's not loyalty. Well, how he treats things, there's no loyalty there. It's all fear. That's the end of the episode, and then we see next time. And the things that stuck out to me from next time is we see Loras' trial. Davos confronts Melisandre in front of Jon Snow. Tell him what you did! And then we see some Baelish versus Sansa, where he's like, I thought you knew what I wanted.
And he wants to be king, basically. I think he wants to be king of the South, maybe.
King of the South.
Well, why would he
stop at the South? Baelish isn't known for stopping anywhere.
That's true. Yeah, good point.
Yeah, good exactly.
Point. I was just thinking, they've got Winterfell now, so I don't know how much...
His ambition knows no bounds.
Yeah, and he definitely wants to be king, so I can't even see him, like...
Well, they got Winterfell, but now the Jon and Sansa are in his debt, right? Because the Vale came in and saved their ass.
And it was, like, Definity Baelish. It's not even like they can pass it off on Robin. Because that kid's useless.
He is useless.
He's a puppet. All right.
Things I want to talk about. I got two things I want to talk about, mostly. One is Yara's agreement with Daenerys and exactly how long that's going to last. And the next one is the timing for Sansa to go get Baelish was awful. So starting with the first one. Do you this is probably way off. It would be post Dany becoming the queen of Westeros and I guess parts of Essos too. Would you actually see the Iron Islanders, Yara and the Island Islanders, assuming that they make it to the end and they're restored, Yara's restored to, I guess, rulership, I say in quotations, of the Iron Islands?
I could see I could see Yara giving it a shot.
Yeah, but do you see them actually stop grieving and shit?
No, I'm pretty sure something would probably happen to knock them back down. Like, they'd get punished for it.
Yeah, like they'd dragons
do
would
something
come
get punished for it.
Burn their ships up, probably.
But I don't think it'd be directly related to Yara. Like, I don't think she would have condoned it or participated in it, but it's like her people basically couldn't stop themselves.
Right, now thinking of that, what is her people going to say about her making this agreement?
Well, obviously they're with her if they stole ships. Now,
but as soon as they're like, well, fuck, she's just sold us out and said we can't do the things that we want to do.
In for a penny, in for a pound in that sense, my friend.
I don't know. I can see people turning against her.
They've hitched their boat to her at this point. It's my view of it.
Yeah, I don't see that going over very well with her people.
Because I don't see Euron as the forgiving type.
No, I don't. Yeah, so it's kind of like, well, I don't know. It's a big sea, man. You know what I mean? It's a big ocean. Yep. You can take your ship and get lost out there.
They're gonna definitely encounter Euron on the way back, though.
Oh, sure.
Danny.
Definitely. That's definitely going to happen. Probably next season. The end of next season.
Burn that boat with Euron on it. That would be great.
Yeah, I can't see them lasting very long. Unless Euron will have to have... a trick up his sleeve, like maybe a Kraken or something.
Oh, that would be great.
You know? He calls upon the powers of the Drowned God, and the Drowned God sends forth a Kraken. And then we can see some Kraken versus Dragon action. Anything else you want to talk about in Marine?
I really loved that scene. Even though they didn't, like, I felt they'd make a better impression if they would have, like, I don't know, helped at all in that battle, but the way it went was still pretty pleasing. And it seems like Tyrion, it does have free reign to say and do what he wants, kind of.
Yeah, like he's trusted. Roger, he's trusted. Yeah, I think he's trusted. He's gained Dany's trust. I think that she thinks he's very competent. So, yeah, so they left him in charge of that whole encounter with the remaining masters, the leaders there.
Other than that, we saw three dragons. I don't think they're going to be caged again.
Probably not. They busted right the fuck out of there, so they were just there of their own will, I guess. They could have got out any time. They'll probably get bigger, too. I bet they'll always be smaller than Drogon, but I think they'll get bigger.
Yep.
And they're already... Drogon's fucking huge, man. Did not the Masters have... They have a short fucking memory. I mean, didn't that... Like, they had small dragons last time and totally... Or smaller dragons and totally fucking took out that goddamn city.
Yeah, wasted them. What did they... They obviously thought that they could... I don't know what the fuck they were thinking.
They must have thought that, well, Drogon took... Maybe they heard reports that Drogon took off and they got they were fearing the other two dragons and they locked them up. Maybe that's what they were counting on.
They didn't think they'd actually use them, like WMDs.
Right, yeah. Like, she couldn't control them anymore, so they weren't a problem. Which they were fucking wrong, if that's what they were thinking.
Yeah, because it looked like she easily controlled them.
So, the Vale... Sansa riding to the rescue. That, not much of a rescue. I mean, how many wildlings are left? Like 20? Maybe 50? Yeah, but 50?
It looks like a lot more than that. It looked like a lot more than that.
I don't know. There weren't very many fucking dudes left. Out of 2,000
definitely a lot of people died.
So, yeah. Lots of people died.
The real question is, how many Mormont men are left?
I don't know. Sure all 32. I hope all 32 are left. They're badasses. Their lady. Ever. I love their lady. I'd like to see a spinoff of just her. Like a spinoff series.
Lady Mormont. There's a still frame of when Ramsay's talking and he talks about their surrender or whatever. You can see her giving him the stink eye.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they froze that frame and they're like, man, that she's.
I actually shared that. There's a meme with that picture and it says, how I look when Rickon doesn't zigzag.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, and so. I saw another one that was, if this is how they treat returning characters, speaking of Rickon's death, Gendry should keep on rowing.
So basically when I said we'd never see those guys again, you know, Osha and Rickon, I was kind of right. They were nominally not even characters this season.
So you don't think Melisandre will bring them back or anything?
Nope. I don't think so. Talking about Baelish, Sansa getting Baelish. Yo, that could have happened a whole lot sooner. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it's like, when did she slip off to do that?
Well, it was right after she said, told John that he didn't have enough men. But she's been saying that this whole time, so why didn't she, you know,
in the planning session at night, she was talking to
him. I know, that's when she left, right after that.
At night.
You can't protect me, no one can. That's when she left. But I'm saying she's been saying this shit for a while now. She could have had them fuckers on board way back, for a long time now.
Well, they had to ride to show up, obviously.
Not very far if she just went and got him. No, bullshit. They'd already traveled north, remember? Because Baelish met her in that burnt fucking village outside of Castle Black.
Yeah, but I don't think they were still... I doubt they were still there.
I bet they were close because they got there pretty fucking close. A half a night's ride, so... Because you figure she took half the night to go get him and then half the night to come back with him.
I thought it was more of a... meet him on the way, like she knew they were coming in from which direction.
No, I don't think she knew. Until she realized John.
They didn't make that plain.
I think that she did not want Baelish's help until she realized that John was going to sacrifice himself and get everybody dead. And at that point, right in that war room, that's when she decided to go get Baelish. So they were nearby.
I thought it was much earlier when she asked to get a raven.
No, I don't think so.
The last couple, I can't remember which episode, but basically when she found out that when she was looking at Mormont after they basically got shot down by all the lords and they were marching with their army and she asked about getting a raven.
Well, okay, so if that was the case and she knew that they're on the way, why would she not tell John that so that he wouldn't fucking sacrifice all his men? Either way, she fucked up. Either she waited too long or she didn't tell John. And we see that there's actually on the next time on
the not
Game
telling
of Thrones,
John was a huge, huge thing.
She's like, he's like, you know, we got to trust each other because we have so many enemies. And then he gives her a peck on the cheek or whatever. He's right, because I think that she just sacrificed all those people for nothing. They could have owned that battlefield.
They had more cavalry or whatever. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, they could have totally owned that battlefield.
So I think Sansa made a big fucking fuck up here. Even though
she was just trying to play Ramsay. Her entire goal was just to fuck Ramsay.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, well, that's fine, but you could do it without sacrificing so many people. One more thing I want to ask. How do you think that the North is going to respond to Sansa Stark now that Bolton is done and the Umbers?
They show the Freys next episode, so I'm guessing that those guys are dead or something's going to happen there.
Right. I don't actually consider Freys the North. They're kind of like the gateway to the North, but they're not really Northmen.
Yeah, because so I think that everybody's going to rally around the Stark banner because you have Karstark and Umber, who are the two largest, weren't they? Now most of their shit's crushed, basically.
Yeah, so I guess the question is, how much of the North's remaining forces was at this battle? Because they keep dwindling, right? Their forces keep dwindling because they keep fighting each other.
Yeah, and yet they're still considered greater than the South's.
Yeah, I don't know.
The South has been at war for itself for a while now, though.
Since the Red Wedding, the North's forces keep getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And now, like,
So have the Lannisters and stuff like that.
That's true. That is true. So my question is, how many of these people are left, and how many are going to throw in with Jon? Sansa. I don't know.
I think the majority of them will. I consider the North pretty much united at this point.
You do? I think we're not out of that woods yet.
You think they'll be more convincing, or do you think there'll be like pitched battle?
I don't think there'll be a pitched battle. I just don't think
more
that
politicking.
Yeah, politicking.
Yeah, I think I agree. It'll be more politicking, short of Danny showing up or something. And I think at this point, the only thing left in the North is more the White Walkers attack.
I think that's going to be the catalyst. So Bran is going to arrive at Castle Black, and then on his heels are going to be the White Walkers. And I bet they take Castle Black, and while they're still fiddle-fucking around in Winterfell, so that what's left of Castle Black comes south. Unless Jon is fast on his feet and brings all these people north to the wall again to defend it. You know,
that I don't see.
There's going to be a timing thing here. So
yeah, I don't see that happening.
And of course, I think the North will lose and they'll be pushed back.
If they're pushed back, they're pretty much down most of their forces.
And then you'll...
I see them rallying, basically getting the news about Castle Black having fallen, maybe from Bran and his uncle, Benjen.
Yeah, Benjen. I don't know. So they did show the Freys, so I imagine something's going to happen with them.
I feel like they're about to be betrayed.
And then something's going to happen at River Run and wherever the Freys are at, the twins, right? Something's going to happen there, I think, next episode. So what do you think is going to happen? What's left for next episode?
They had Cersei's trial, but I don't feel like they're going to get through that. No, they showed the Septons meeting.
Was it Cersei's trial? The only person I saw was Loras, not saying that Cersei won't be there.
I know they had, it looked like she was in that.
Like in the gathering there?
Yeah. Okay. Not necessarily the gathering, but it looked like she was getting ready.
Okay.
They showed a scene where she was like getting ready. But so, and then they showed the Septons and then they started talking about the trial. So I feel like that's her trial.
Okay. So we're going to see the shit show in King's Landing finally.
Yeah. Cause you have Jaime who's probably headed back that way.
Yeah. There's no reason for him to remain at River Run. He's already secured.
I don't think he didn't look like he was in that gathering of the Freys.
Oh, I hope not. I mean? Who the hell would want to have dinner with those assholes?
Yeah, right. I'm just saying that
the Freys are like the hillbillies of Westeros. I think that's what
I'm
that's
really
the
hoping that like Edmure shows up and just like wipes them off the fucking map to take his children back, his wife and his child back.
Oh, that would be something.
However, it has to happen. That's what I want to happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I really want that to fucking happen.
He's going to grow a set.
Oh, yeah. I think Jamie's gone. Is more sobered as a character now. He's definitely transformed, and he's not the like foolish sort of person that he was. Right. He's now the new Blackfish or whatever.
Maybe.
So, yeah, the moment Jamie's gone with some of his troops or most of his troops, maybe he takes all of his troops and just leaves and smacks down the towers.
It would be nice to see him betray the Lannisters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. Because he really, the only thing to keep him there is that, we've talked about that before last episode, we're pretty sure that somehow his children are going to, the entire point of that entire thing was to set him up as a character. Right.
That's correct.
And he's really chained to the Lannisters and the Freys right now until something frees him from it. And I think them showing the Freys is going to be happening in the next episode. And just end on a high note for the season. Maybe Cersei's dead. Maybe the Freys are dead.
I think there's going to be a low note in there. Someone's going to die that we like.
Hey, Rickon's already dead. That was fucking brutal.
That was brutal.
So brutal to watch.
But I didn't really... I've never connected with that character because, I mean, at the beginning, he was a young boy and really didn't have a part.
It was more about Jon. John than Rickon.
They sent him away. Because,
it was way more about Jon than Rickon.
Yeah.
It was just like, wow, they're like, because the entire kind of thing is Ramsay's gonna hurt you in whatever way he can, right? And that's the best way he can do that is to almost give you back Rickon and then fucking take him away.
Yeah, and Sansa knew it. He was like, you know, might as well think Rickon's already dead because he is the dead man walking.
Now it makes you kind of wonder if I doubt it would have, but if Jon hadn't ran out there to meet him, if he would have killed Rickon.
I think
probably be since he had no incentive to keep him alive.
He can't allow. Like he couldn't allow a Stark heir to live.
Yeah, the only Stark heir, the only true Stark heir, right?
Well, I mean, Sans is kind of an heir. I don't think that they have rules against ladies.
The claim there is small, though, a lot smaller than Rickon's would be. Even she called it out. She said, "A bastard and a woman."
Yeah, but still, at this point,
she's already been rebuffed by the rest of the North as like. What should they call her, a Bolton?
Yeah, but at this point, she is the Stark, the Warden of the North.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm just saying that so that would have... He would have been a much better heir to that than she would have. Not just from a blood standpoint, not necessarily, because she seems like the stronger character.
Anything else you want to cover?
So we talked about the Iron Islands. Do you think... So we both agree. I think they're going to encounter Euron on the way back. I think we talked about that.
Oh, yeah. They will.
Do you see anything happening there? Like, how do you think Dany's going to handle that?
With destruction?
What do you think? Just straight destruction?
Yeah. I think Euron will have some kind of trick, and
we talked about Kraken versus Dragon.
It'll be... I don't know what it'll be, but he'll have some kind of trick up his sleeve.
We also haven't seen any more of... Heartsbane or whatever, and Gilly and Sam.
Right. I imagine that they might do a small scene with them in the finale, the season finale. Like, have them showing up or something. Where you get us... Because I don't think we've seen the Citadel yet, so I imagine they'll show us the Citadel.
Then we also have the Brotherhood Without Banners and the Hound.
Mm-hmm.
Which we didn't touch on this episode. And he's clearly joined the Brotherhood Without Banners, so where are they going?
So maybe they're going to the Twins or River Run.
So that leaves
Maybe they're the ones who free up Edmure's kids that allows him to become an active participant again.
That's true. Because they've already mentioned that they're hitting their caravans and stuff.
Right.
Supply lines.
Mm-hmm.
So other than that, do you think that will be completely resolved before the end of the season? Because we only have one episode left.
No.
So which plot points do you think will be completely tied up?
I don't think
going to make it through all the way.
Rarely we see anything tied up, but if there's going to be something tied up, it'll be the thing in King's Landing.
That's the last major plot point, really, that, like, battle, incoming battle, basically.
Like, the whole Septim thing, the High Sparrow thing, that's going to be in the Faith Pendleton. Well, I think that will be wrapped up. Or at least it'll be set up to wrap up on the season premiere of next season. You know what I mean?
That is a good opening. That would be a good opening. Yeah. Now, I've heard talks that they're cutting down the next two seasons to be 7 episodes or something like that.
So 13 episodes between the next two seasons. One 7-episode season and one 6-episode season.
Hmm.
Which I've mentioned before on here. Like I think a few episodes ago I mentioned that.
Maybe they did. Yeah, we talked about that. Maybe they did it just so they can like kill off a bunch of characters and they don't have to hire them for another season.
Oh yeah.
So they only need them for 7 more episodes, and then the next season after that you don't need them.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll see the White Walkers before the end of the season?
Yes, we'll see them show up at Castle Black for sure. We'll probably see Bran show up at Castle Black, and then they'll be there outside of Castle Black, and of course that'll probably be the end. That'll probably be the final scene where it's like. you know, the remnants of the Night's Watch are like, fuck! What do we do?
Yep. Okay, that's pretty much all I have. I don't really have any. We've already given out our guesses, kind of.
Yep.
Basically, Fraser dead. King's Landing dead. Dead people there.
All right, then.
I hope we finally get to see some mountain kills.
Yeah, that would be great for him to just wade into the Faith Militant.
Yeah.
All right, I'd like to thank everybody for coming back and listening to us on the Faceless Men podcast covering HBO's Game of Thrones television series. I'm your host, Michael.
And I'm your host, Jesse. Valar Morghulis.